This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Happy Saturday. Actually, happy late Saturday. My apologies and that of my producers and staff for getting this up a bit late today, but it's been rather amazing out west. You know, we had a dry and warm winter. Most of the snowpack in the western states is far below normal. You've read about the California drought and the moronic things that the Californians and Jerry Brown are doing, you know, limiting showers, you got water police, $500 fines if you brush your teeth for more than 10 seconds. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not by much. And it all comes down to them not building enough storage to begin with because of their environmental concerns. So see how things come back to bite you, unintended consequences. But in Wyoming, it's been very dry all winter. In fact, most of these, I was just reading a report, most of the snowpack in the Wyoming mountains, with very few exceptions, is less than 80% of the median, and that's the average precipitation for a winter that's been measured since 1981 till now. So that'll kind of give you an idea. I mean, it's pretty dismal. And in the west, water is important everywhere, but in the west, it's critical that you have snowpack, because snowpack feeds the rivers. The rivers feed, of course, all the domestic uses of towns and cities, etc., and also of irrigation. And if you don't have snowpack, then what you have is zero water come June or July. In this case, we got some late snows, but they've melted quickly. We're actually supposed to get snow tomorrow, believe it or not, close to a foot. I'm sure it'll be very wet, and it'll melt in a day this time of year. And we've been getting rain for the past 2 weeks, so temporarily the water situation has reversed itself. We have lots of water. In fact, we're running around the ranch right now making sure the ponds don't overflow, but it's also temporary. It's still going to be a dry, late summer. And with the storms out here, because they've been howling, internet service, which is not that reliable in the wild and remote, trust me on this. Phones are not reliable. Half the time they don't work. And internet service is not too reliable. TV, kind of reliable. So, that's the other side of the coin in living in a beautiful spot far away from other folks. And we didn't have internet service most of yesterday and most of last night, which means that we could not upload shows and all sorts of things and get them out to all the places they needed to go. So that is the way it is. But here we are. We have overcome the trials and tribulations of technology. And the show today, I'm going to be talking a little bit about the audiobooks, which are coming out here May 15th, first book. Very exciting. I'm going to be talking about paradox. You know, some people call it hypocrisy, and the talking heads on TV talk about, well, they said this and this date, but I'm going to put it in a different context for you, because it's something I think that's really worth thinking about. It portends a much deeper, these paradoxes I'm going to give you, and they're just examples of thousands and thousands and thousands, but they're ones you're recognizing. You know, I think that they kind of portend an erosion that we're all aware of our values, an attack on the fundamental pillars of our society, of our country, of our beliefs, of our freedoms, faith, family, the Constitution, work ethic. And it's very worrisome, because if not arrested, the slide could bring us to the precipice, if we're not already there, of a rather dark abyss for this country in terms of rights, in terms of freedoms, and in terms of our trust in government, in terms of whether it's a government of the people or a government against the people, which a lot of people right now, including myself, kind of feel it is, or rapidly getting to be so. And then, and by the way, one of the things I'm going to talk about on paradoxes is an absolutely amazing court case that has to do with IRS persecution of pro-Israeli groups. You got to hear this. I mean, you just shake your head and go, Really? And it is really. So, the other thing we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk a little bit about, and it's within the context of these paradoxes, the recent British elections, in fact, just 2 days ago. And kind of like Israel, where everybody projected the left and the radicals, etc., were going to gain control, and the Conservative Party was going to fade off into oblivion. And of course, Obama spent our taxpayer money. I mean, where did that story go, right? Who's getting prosecuted or investigated for that? No one. And sent his political operatives over there only to get soundly trounced by the best election the Conservatives under Netanyahu, the Likud party, has had in many, many years. And the same thing happened in Britain this week. I'm not going to tell you too much about it now because we're going to get into it in the show, but let's just say that the outcome of the British elections was quite different than all the pundits and all the polls and all the left-wing folks were saying. And there's a reason for that. So, number one, let's talk about the audiobooks very quickly. The very first audiobook of Threads West, book one, Threads West, An American Saga, was read by yours truly, Ye Old Author Cowboy. And several people have told me it's pretty good. Other people haven't said anything. That might tell you what they think. And there were a whole bunch, thousands of them, put together in a 6 CD format, 6 hours and 23 minutes or something, on book one. We never did do book two, because to be honest with you, I wasn't that happy with book one. I mean, perhaps I'm self-critical. And I certainly didn't have the time and don't have the time to read the rest of the books. It is very time-consuming doing an audiobook, let me tell you. Holy moly. It's almost as time-consuming as writing the damn book. But we do have about, oh, less than 100 of those left out of the thousands that were printed. They really are a collector's item. They're out of print. You cannot get them anywhere but the Threads West site. And we are releasing the new audiobook of book one, read by Jack Baer, who, by the way, is nationally acclaimed voice. I mean, the guy is absolutely phenomenal. You will love it. I am so impressed, I can't tell you, and I think it's, personally speaking, heads and tails above Ye Olde Author Cowboy reading. Some people disagree, but I think I'm right. So, the CDs are a great collector's item. I mean, they really are a collector's item. It'll be the only book ever read by me, and that is all there is, folks. There ain't no more and never will be. But the new audiobooks by Jack Baer are really phenomenal. Book two is coming out in about 6 weeks after that, book three, and then hopefully book four in print will be out and the audio will be out along with it. But book one gets released May 15th. You can go to threadswestseries.com. That's www.threadswestseries.com. Or you can go to Facebook, www.facebook.com/threadswest, and it'll give you all the particulars. The publishers have some great deals going for the release, pretty nice percentage off the new audiobooks, and a really great, I really think a great deal on the collector's books, that I read, the CDs, which are kind of old-fashioned now. Let me tell you about that. The CDs, by the way, I think are $20, which is tremendous for that. And the new audiobooks, and this is the first time, we don't know of anybody else that has ever done this, but I think it is the wave of the future. The new audiobooks are on thumb drives. First of all, they have a really cool kind of upgraded thumb drive. It's like the size of a credit card, has a Threads West cover on it and all that stuff. Plugs into any USB, your car, whatever, and there's an adapter for your phone. You can listen to it anywhere. You don't have to worry about discs getting scratched anymore or losing a disc of your 6 discs. You know how that goes. I mean, we've all done it. I have a Harry Potter set of discs, which I love, and half of them are missing, half of them are scratched, and I'm really bummed about it. But that can't happen with a thumb drive. And then there's a slightly lesser thumb drive, kind of what you're used to in the form of a thumb drive. And I think that's like $23 retail. The other one is like $26. The upgraded one is $26. And they have a pretty nice percentage off. You'll have to go to the website and check it, but 15, 20, whatever percent off for the release dates, the 15th, I think, through the 19th. Don't go by what the author says. Go by what the website says. But it's very cool. And let me tell you, Jack Baer has done a fabulous, fabulous job. Wait until you hear his voices for Reuben and Zeb and Ingrid and Johan and Jacob. I mean, really phenomenal. Just terrific. And he's doing all the rest of the books. So there'll be a continuity of voice, which is really exciting. And I think you ought to check it out. ThreadsWestSeries.com. And if you haven't signed up at the website, please do so or give us a like on Facebook. And you can be part of the little newsletters and special deal mailings and all that stuff. And there's not a lot of them. When they do go out, they're pretty good. So that's my plug for the audiobooks. I am thoroughly impressed with the reading by Jack Baer. Let me tell you, it's way cool. It's even cool for the author to listen to. And obviously, I know the book. So let's get started on paradoxes, shall we? The paradoxes of modern life. Should we say the paradoxes of being an American in modern life? Number one, you know, we have this recent deal where you had the two jihadis, radical Islamists, supposedly either taking orders from or pledging allegiance to ISIS. Who really cares? The bottom line is they were performing their attempted terror act in the name of Islam. They wanted to get in and gun down with their automatic weapons all the people that were attending Pam Geller's, some people say Geller, some people say Jeller, cartoon contest, kind of making fun of Muhammad. The same thing that Charlie Hebdo did in Paris, and we know what happened to him. So Pam Geller also has a price in her head from all the radical Islamists, by the way. And she is a very outspoken woman. She abhors radical Islam, as I think we all do, and she's not afraid about saying it. And whether or not she was doing it for publicity or whatever reasons, the bottom line is she has a right to do it. This is called the First Amendment. You have a right to say whatever you want about whoever you want or whatever you want, whenever you want, period. There's no ifs, ands, buts, or ors about that. And in her case, her target is radical Islam. In fact, she does a far better job of exposing it than our erstwhile president, who is both a benefactor of and a supporter of, in my opinion, listen to my past radio shows, Islam and radical, certain forms of radical Islam. Certainly the Iranian form of radical Islam. So, anyway, these two jihadis tried to get in there and do their damage, kind of a Charlie Hebdo in America type of attack. They were gunned down by a cop who must be a hell of a good shot, took them both out in 15 minutes while he was under fire from automatic weapons. All he had was a pistol. And, you know, immediately the mainstream media, particularly the left portions of it and left-wing media, they started attacking Pam Geller for having this cartoon contest. You know, nothing about the jihadis, nothing about radical Islam, nothing about, oh, I don't like what you're saying, so I'm going to take an automatic weapon and kill you. Nothing about that. Instead, they're talking about Pam Geller and how she is affronting Islam and how she shouldn't have the right to be so nasty with her cartoons or her cartoon contest. I think that's kind of a big paradox. Aren't these the same people who jump up and down and scream and yell about free speech and people's right to enunciate, to voice, to oppose? I think it's a pretty scary thing, folks. The paradox is of course, the First Amendment is what gives these same press people the right to print or say or do whatever they want. They can write an article about anybody. They can express their opinion on anything. But if it's not their opinion or they don't agree with the opinion, suddenly they're opposed to it. And suddenly more focus is on the victim or the intended victim, Ms. Geller and her attendees, than on the perpetrators and the twisted ideology and hatred that drove the perps to attempt mass murder or terror, I think it's called. That's a scary paradox, particularly since it's the press, the greatest benefactor of the First Amendment, which, by the way, is probably the key to our freedoms. Knowledge is power. Discussion is good. It's very scary that the press is taking this position. I wonder what these people would be saying, these same press people, if suddenly their right to condemn Pam Geller was shut down. My, wouldn't the shoe be on the other foot? You bet it would. Let's go to paradox number two, because they get better and better as we go here. We have Hillary Clinton. Now, you know, Hillary Clinton, according to the New York Times, which is hardly a right-leaning newspaper, has answered exactly 7 questions concerning her emails, her server, her deletion of emails, her selection of emails, her provision of emails and information which belongs to us, we paid for it, folks, to the State Department pursuant to written rules and regulations. 7 questions over the past several months since this multi-headed scandal broke. There's liberal press all over the place kind of on her. And she is dodging him well. Bill is out there talking about, oh, yeah, you know, this, we didn't mean to do this, and this was just a mistake. And every day we learn something else. We learn they didn't disclose 1,100 donors. 1,100 donors. And we're not talking about $5 donors, folks. We're talking about $1 million, multi-million dollar donors. That they were, as you probably know, taking donations of $5, $10, $25 million from Arab countries and others, including corporations, I might add, including American corporations, while matters pertaining to those countries or corporations were being decided by the State Department and were decided in favor of those countries and corporations, including on matters that Hillary had been publicly opposed to prior to the $5, $10, $25 million, whatever it was, coming to her foundation. We've also found out that the percentage of money that's used for the great things the foundation does, which, you know, the left tries to tell us, oh, well, it doesn't matter where the money comes from because they're doing really great things. However, your typical nonprofit outfit that does charity type work and helps people around the world generally sees somewhere between 88 and 94 cents of every dollar go to help people. The rest is administration, etc. I mean, it takes folks to run a place. In Hillary Clinton's case, and although the press has not been able to get the full scoop yet, it appears that somewhere between 68 and 70%, a much lower percentage, goes out to help folks. And somewhere along the lines, 30%, give or take, goes somewhere else. Now, since this foundation has raised $2 billion, and that's the donors we know about, 30% of $2 billion is $600 million. That's $600 million. I wonder where that went. Wouldn't that be interesting to find out? Maybe one day we will. Now, here's the real paradox. Number one, I mean, forget she's, you know, the server was illegal. She's supposedly erased the server. She won't give it to Trey Gowdy. You know, the emails were erased. She decided what was what. And, of course, the emails, I'm sure, are the proof which linked the quid pro quo between taking money in the foundation and doing a deal for Saudi Arabia at the State Department. Gee, how convenient is this? So the real paradox, though, is that the State Department yesterday, remember, this is a government that investigates everything. The State Department yesterday said that they weren't going to go back and look at any of this stuff. They weren't going to investigate anything because there was just no inkling of anything not being done according to rules and regulations. Say what? Really? And here's another paradox. The new Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, I mean, I think she's going to be as bad, if not worse, than Eric Holder. She is not investigating anything. You could have bribery. You could have treason. You could have breach of law under State Department rules, obstruction of justice, destruction of evidence. I mean, there's all sorts of felonies here. Not to mention perjury. She's not doing anything to investigate Hillary. Zero. She's not even investigating the State Department, not, shall we say, supervising Hillary under the written agreements that she served as Secretary of State. However, Loretta Lynch is jumping right into an investigation of the Baltimore Police Department. Now, she's the Attorney General of the United States. What do you think is more important, the security of the country and 350 million people, or the investigation of a singular police force, whether or not it's warranted? Or maybe the Justice Department, with its billions and billions and billions of dollars, our dollars, of funding, maybe they can walk and chew gum and do both. What a novel concept. I find that to be a fascinating paradox. And then we have the next paradox. And that is, and the articles are on the are down below the show here. So the military all across the United States has gone to a much higher state of readiness and terror awareness. And they have all sorts of different code names. It doesn't matter what it is. Bottom line is they've ramped up to DEFCON 4 in terror parlance because of the threats of ISIS. And the FBI's admission that there's hundreds, if not thousands, of ISIS folks in the country coming across broken borders, of course, and in other ways. So think of this paradox. We have the military of the United States gearing up at quite an expense against terror threats on military bases right here in the United States. But the same military that could take out the threat at its source in Syria and Iraq is being restrained to 7 plus or minus airstrike missions a day and virtually no boots on the ground. I want you to think about that paradox. Any military strategist will tell you it is far better to take out an enemy on its home base than to defend against it on your home base. This is kind of just basic common sense. I find that to be an incredible and very worrisome paradox. Then we have the paradox of Hillary Clinton and a whole bunch of other politicians. I'm not just going to pick on her. Barack Obama, several of the Republicans, talking about how they're all for the middle class. They're for the little guy. They're the champion of the people. And then, as soon as they're done with that speech or press conference, they hurry off to their fundraising banquet with multi-millionaires and zillionaires to get their $100,000, $500,000, million-dollar donations through PACs or otherwise. Now, I think that's a pretty big paradox, and I will just point out that if you or I send our maximum of $5,000 to Hillary's campaign, we're probably not going to get the same, should we say, assistance that we would get if we contributed a $500,000 check to one of her political action committees, or $5 or $10 million to her foundation. And the same is true for these other double-speaking politicians. I find that a huge paradox. Folks who are supposed to be for the people taking money from everybody but the people. The next paradox. So our illustrious quote-unquote commander-in-chief, he and his minions, Susan Rice and all the rest of the liars up there, have told us we don't leave anybody behind. It is a credence of the military. It's a credence of America. Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. The video caused Benghazi, you know, you can keep your doctor, whatever. So they trade 5 Taliban generals, a number of whom are already going back to the battlefield. They get you haven't heard this in the press, have you? They get released from Qatar this month. I mean, they might already be gone. We have these 5 top Taliban generals who are released for what we now know the White House knew was a deserter because of a 2009 report. We get treated to a Rose Garden ceremony with the parents who speak in Arabic and get a hug from Barry. And we get serenaded over why this is a good deal because we don't leave anybody behind. That is our credo. It's the right thing to do. The paradox is, what did Barry do to get our Marine out of Mexico? Remember that guy? Greta Van Susteen was on that. She did a great job on it. In fact, I think her efforts and her publicity really got the guy released. So he was down there rotting in a Mexican jail for 4 months. The president and Kerry did nothing, zero, nada. Susan Rice never even mentioned it. Decorated Marine, 2-time vet, two-tour vet. And now we found out just a few months ago, because, you know, we just didn't need to know, in addition to several other Americans being held by those great buddies of ours, the Iranians, we have a United States Marine who was a translator, served multiple tours in Iraq, who went over there to see his mother, and has been locked in an Iranian prison for more than 3 years. And we're told by John Kerry and Barack Obama, the same people who told us how we don't leave anybody behind, that they just can't bring this up because it just has nothing to do with the nuclear negotiations. Gee, you know, in my world, I'd walk into that first day of nuclear negotiations, make me gag, and I'd say, you want to talk? These guys are out of your prisons and on planes headed to the United States in 1 hour, or I'm leaving this room and I'm not talking about anything and I'm going to double the sanctions. I bet they'd get released. What do you think? I find that a reprehensible paradox. And it points out just how scurrilous the current leaders of this country are. And what disdain they hold the military in their heart of hearts, despite their rhetoric and lies. And let's go to the next. Oh, by the way, before we leave that, we always get our people out, right? Do you know there are 700 Americans trapped in Yemen right now? Now, some of them were morons. They were over there for whatever reason, didn't leave when they were told. I mean, you know, they're still Americans. They still need to be rescued. But, yeah, you know, please. But many of them, several hundred, were in some way, shape, or form working for the government or some type of quasi-government agency and just couldn't get out. I mean, that country is shambles. And the State Department has now come out and said they're not going to send anybody in to get these guys. But we don't leave anybody behind. Particularly if we have 5 top Taliban generals, we can get out of Gitmo and get back to the battlefield to help our buddies. Then we have the paradox of the left wing, including Hillary Clinton and Klan and Barry and Michelle and Mushell and Susan Rice and God knows who else, everybody, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, talking about women's choice. It's between a woman and her doctor when she has an abortion. It's all about choice. Nobody can tell a woman what to do. Putting that aside, because that's a whole topic unto itself. So, women have choice. I don't know what choice the embryo has, or the born baby, if it's a partial birth abortion, or, you know, the seventh-month-old fetus. What choice do they have? Putting that aside. So, women have choices. But these same people will fight tooth and nail against right to work. And I've done several shows on it. Right to work is simply the right of an employee, be it private or government, to opt out of mandatory dues deduction from their paycheck by government agencies to be paid to the unions. That's all it is. There are certain nuances in this state or that, but in its essence, that is all it is. It's your right to make a choice. I want to pay union dues. Please take it out of my check. I don't want to pay union dues. Don't take it out of my check. So, I guess in the world of the left, some people, if they're going to get their vote, have choices, and other people, if they're not, are not. Excuse the phone there. Okay, I guess in the world of the left, the people who might vote your way or send you a donation get a choice, and the people who might not don't. Selective choice. Selective opportunity to choose. I think that's a big paradox. And then we have Occupy Wall Street. Remember Occupy Wall Street, supported by the left? And we have the left always jumping up and down, you know, the right of people to actually loot in Baltimore. That's right. I mean, the looting is less important than this, that, or the other. So we have all these people that the left says have the absolute right to voice their anger, their discontent, to destroy property even, with no retribution whatsoever, Ferguson, Baltimore, you name it. However, if you're a conservative, you get persecuted by the IRS, i.e. Lois Lerner. And most recently, you get persecuted if you're pro-Israel. I am not making this one up. Listen carefully, because this is not on the mainstream media at all. So, on Thursday, this is May 7th, there was a case that was actually in the appeals court, United States Appeals Court. And this case has to do with an outfit that was called Z Street. It formed in 2009. Its purpose was, quote, educating the public about Zionism, about the facts relating to the Middle East and to the existence of Israel as a Jewish state, and, quote, about Israel's right to refuse to negotiate with, make concessions to, or appease terrorists. That's kind of a mainstream view in America outside the Obama administration, don't you think? A month after they formed, Z Street applied to the IRS for federal tax-exempt status. And that applies to groups that are organized and operated exclusively for religious, charitable, scientific, testing for public safety, literary, or educational purposes. They met all the qualifications. In May of 2010, the IRS requests additional information. This is kind of like the Tea Party stuff, isn't it? Zeestry provided it very shortly thereafter. Then Zeestry was ignored every time they tried to contact the IRS agents in charge of getting them their tax-exempt status. On July 19, 2010, Zeestry's attorneys finally reached the IRS agent that was in charge, who said that she, quote, maintained concerns about approving the application. In fact, she stated, I quote, that the IRS had special concerns about applications from organizations whose activities relate to Israel and whose positions, listen to this, and whose positions with respect to Israel contradict the current policies of the U.S. government. I want you to think about that for a moment. Number one, it's kind of telling as to what Barack Obama's real policies are toward Israel. But putting that aside, doesn't this kind of tie into that First Amendment thing with Pam Geller that we started off with? I mean, what is up with this? This is a scary thing. She also told Zeestry's attorneys, quote, that the IRS carefully scrutinizes all Section 501c3 applications that are connected with Israel, and that these cases are being sent to a special unit in the DC office. Remember, that's where Lerner worked. To determine whether the organization's activities contradict the administration's public policies. Huh. So, we now have special units in the IRS that scrutinize citizens groups for, quote, contradicting the administration's public policies, unquote. What is this? Communist China? Is this Stalin's Russia? Is this Hitler's Nazi Germany? What? Where did this come from? This is from the same outfits that tell us. This is from the same outfits that tell us that Occupy Wall Street is great. Looting in Ferguson and Baltimore is fine. And the expression of the disaffected, in however they want to express it, including violence, is A-okay. How's that for paradox? But let me keep going. It gets better on this one. I save the best for last. So Zeestry sued. The district court sided with them. It went up to the appeals court. And Chief Judge Merrick Garland, by the way, who's a Bill Clinton appointee, a Democrat. Here's a quote from the open hearing on May 7th. He's asking the government attorney. And the government attorney, this is the attorney arguing for Barack Obama. The government attorney had argued that the federal court held no jurisdiction. In other words, you know, they can't rule on the First Amendment. The relief that was sought by Zeestry was not available because the doctrine of sovereign immunity barred their lawsuit. In other words, you can't sue the government for doing something wrong because they're the government. I want you to think about that twisted paradox. And alternatively, the same government attorney argued on behalf of Barry that aggrieved groups can only sue the Internal Revenue Code if no action has been taken for 270 days. In other words, they got sued too early. After listening to all the arguments, the Chief Judge, Merrick Garland, the Bill Clinton appointee, let me quote something. He's asking the government attorney, quote, you don't really mean that, right? Because the next couple of words would be, the IRS is free to discriminate on the basis of viewpoint, religion, race. You don't actually think that. Imagine the IRS announces today a policy that says as follows. No application by a Jewish group or an African-American group will be considered until one day short of the period under the statute. Is it your view that that cannot be challenged? End quote. You can tell you have a very pissed off chief judge here. Then the judge said, quote, This is to the Obama administration attorney. Quote, if I were you, I would go back and ask your superiors whether they want us to represent that the government's position in this case is that the government is free to unconstitutionally discriminate against its citizens for 270 days. Unquote. So, I want you to think about that, folks. Because within this paradox, you have the admission of the IRS that they are specifically targeting groups that disagree with administration policies, public policies, whether it's Israel, whether it's conservative, whether it's whatever it is. Remember the deal on True the Vote, which is in the appeals court now, right now. And further, they argue that you have no redress if they do that. Now, what does, if that's carried to its fullest extreme and it's not stopped right here, what does that portend for your freedoms and the freedoms of your children? What does it say about a government of the people or against the people? By the people or on the other side of the people? It's pretty scary stuff. That's one of the scariest things I've seen in a long time. Anyway, that is my show for today. I want you to think about those paradoxes because they signify a far left, a true minority of the country that happens to be running the country because of the very bad choices of many voters who naively believed them when they said they were going to do X, Y, and Z, or they weren't going to do X, Y, and Z. And I think it shows an utter disregard and complete contempt for the military, for the people of the United States, for the welfare and the security of the country, and certainly for the Constitution and your rights, and particularly as they relate to free speech. If that free speech happens to be something they don't like or is against, I'll quote from this lawsuit, the public policy of the administration. This is some stuff that needs to be nipped in the bud. And if you ever want to hold these folks accountable, then people like Hillary Clinton and her foundation and her emails and her destruction of evidence and her wiping of the server, which was illegal to have to begin with, and her probable taking of bribes, no matter how cloaked, through her foundation in return for favors, including favors like we talked about the Russians getting control of 20% of the uranium of the United States, those kind of favors, which fundamentally undermine the security of the American people. Unless those types of people, and she's not the only one, unless those people are stopped, unless those actions are stopped, unless people are held accountable and pay a price, then we're headed down a very dark road indeed. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Check out those audios, really. They are, I'm very biased, but they are terrific. www.threadswestseries.com. The release of book one is the 15th. You will love it. You really will. Have a great Saturday. We'll talk to you next week.